Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's all to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord.
Give the Lord the honor. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I'm so glad to see you all today. I missed you last week. Some of you have read about it, but I wrote in the E-Eagle about how I went to San Francisco last weekend to officiate at the wedding of my nephew. My nephew works for Google. And he had been planning this wedding for about 2 years. I was on the airplane flying out, and I started to feel weird. I got there and started to feel worse. I managed to make my way through the rehearsal and organize the whole wedding, which was held in a beautiful Episcopal church in the city itself of San Francisco. The next morning, I woke up and I was really sick. So I went to one of those traveler's doctors, you know, that will see you if you're not from around there. And I was tested, and it turned out I was positive for influenza A. And highly contagious, the doctor said. How do you call your beloved nephew, who's been planning his wedding for 2 years, on the day of his wedding, to let him know that he has a choice to make? Either you can do the ceremony, because I knew I could make it through, but I would probably infect both he and his bride with the flu, which they would then take with them on their honeymoon, happy honeymoon. Or they could find another priest in 5 hours. My nephew opted for option B and found the other priest. And I don't blame him one bit. So I found myself lying flat on my back in some random California hotel, feeling like I had been hit by a train, and watching the clock tick away as the wedding time approached. And I realized this was the first time in my life that I had been so sick as to not be able to do a sacrament. And as my friends and family all gathered for this ceremony, I realized how much I wanted to be there. And I realized what an incredible privilege and honor it is to be part of these services, weddings, baptisms, to be present in these holy moments. I really, really wanted to be there. In the book of Acts that we heard today, Paul travels to the city of Ephesus, where he encounters about 12 people who have just been baptized. But something is missing. These people that have been baptized, they don't seem to be in love with Jesus. And so Paul asks them, "Did you guys receive the Holy Spirit?" And they say, "We don't even know what the Holy Spirit is." I wish I could have seen Paul's face when they gave him that answer. Turns out, I don't know if you know this, but there are two parts to baptism. In the first part, the person that you're baptizing is covered with water. In the second part, I take this holy oil that was blessed by the bishop, and I make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the one who's being baptized, and we say these words: "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." You see, in the book of Revelation, it says that all Christians have the sign of the cross marked on their foreheads, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit enters that person forever. So, for Paul to encounter people who had been baptized without the Holy Spirit, it was as if they had shown up for their wedding, but their spouse hadn't shown up. It was like getting married to nobody to be baptized without the Holy Spirit. You see, today we're going to baptize Hudson and Kyle, these two beautiful little babies. And they are actually getting married to God. Have you ever thought about it that way? Do you realize that when you were baptized, you were bound to the most important relationship in your life, more important than your spouse, more important than your parents, more important than your children? You were married to God first. And the amazing and most surprising thing about this is if you can get that fact that you're married to God, that your first and primary relationship is with God, if you can really understand that, then all of your other relationships will be better off. With God, the more you love God, the more you can love everyone else. And the better you love God, the better parent you'll be, the better spouse you'll be, the better child you'll be, the better friend you'll be, because you allow God to live inside of you. When I was in seminary, one of my friends had a little girl. I think she was about 5. Her name was Marlo. Well, one day my friend was walking by his bedroom where he and his wife had a full-size mirror, full-length mirror, and Marlo was standing at the mirror staring at herself, but she had her mouth wide open like she was trying to look down her throat. And my friend said, Marlo, what are you doing? And she said, I'm trying to see the Holy Spirit. And my friend said, do you think that the Holy Spirit lives down your throat, like around your tonsils or something? And she said, well, they said in church that the Holy Spirit lives in me, so I thought if I opened my mouth wide enough, maybe I could see it. It's a strange concept, isn't it, that God could live in you? Only God could do that without feeling claustrophobic or crazy. But it's really important, families, that when Hudson and Kyle are growing up, that you tell them about this day, the day that God married them, because God adores them, and if they really listen, they'll be able to hear that. And in all of our lives, there are all these voices shouting at us. And most of the voices tell you that if you don't look good enough, earn enough, get enough good grades, please enough people, that you're not really worthy to be here. And I know that so many of you listen to those voices, and you feel like if you just work hard enough or do better, or look good enough, that somehow then you'll deserve to be here. But if you believe those voices, then you're not really listening to your spouse. Because deep inside you, there's this one who waits for you and who repeats to you over and over again about how incredibly precious you are. How you were made just for the purpose of loving God back. How remarkable and beautiful you are. But we forget that that one waits for us. We forget that that one vows to be with us every moment of our lives. And these little ones, they will never be alone. You can tell them that. They will never be alone. There is someone with them now every moment of their lives. I think that one reason we forget that we're married to God is because it's a little scary. When Paul lays his hands on those 12 that were baptized without the second part, when he lets them receive the Holy Spirit, they start prophesying. They start speaking in tongues. They do stuff that's kind of out of the box. If you really listen to God within you, you're going to start doing more than you thought you could do. You're going to start scaring yourselves, taking risks, doing more and more. But that's what our world needs. Our world needs people who are lit on fire with love of God and who know that they're married to Christ. So as I lay there in that hotel room, I started to cry. And I tried to talk to God. I complained, because we do that with our spouses, right? I talked about how this didn't seem fair to me, and I didn't get it, and I don't understand why. And I tried to listen, but mostly I just felt sick. So then I called my other spouse and cried on the phone to him. And he upgraded my flight status. I think he felt helpless. But the truth was that I just needed to hear his voice. for the rest of their lives, Hudson and Kyle are going to have somebody to talk to. No matter where they are, no matter what they're going through in their lives, they're going to be able to have someone to talk to, someone who will always listen, who will never leave them alone. You remind them of that, okay, families? That's your job. Amen. Are we ready? Okay, all the parents and godparents and grandparents and anybody who wants to take these vows, please come forward. Come inside the altar rail. That's perfect. Oh, they're both sleeping. Beautiful. Come on in the altar rail, everybody. You can do it. That's right. There's lots of room. This is a beautiful place to raise our children, where we can be part of people of all ages. We can be exposed to poor people, and our kids are going to grow up seeing so much, and it's going to be a joy to watch them grow here. The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented. Will you be responsible for seeing that the children you present are brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help these children to grow into the full stature of Christ? Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey Him as your Lord?
I do.
Congregation, in the middle of page 4, will you, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support these children in their life in Christ?
We will.
Let us stand and join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will.
Let us now pray for these children who are to receive the sacrament of new birth. Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. All children are welcome to come forward so you can see, and family and friends feel you can come right around the font. That's wonderful. We continue in the middle of page 5. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Name this sleeping boy.
That's it, Andrew. Yeah.
Hudson Andrew is fast asleep. Hudson Andrew, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hudson, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Going back to sleep. Name this child.
Kyle.
Hi, sweetie. Are you going to talk to us? Oh, looking at the light. Kyle Ann, here's a big yawn. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kyle, Anne, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon these your servants the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to the new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works. Amen. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection and share with us in his eternal priesthood. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us welcome the newest members of St. John's Cathedral. Yay! Please be seated, everybody. Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift bag, which got lots of good stuff in it, but you have to keep your hand up high and hold it up until the gift comes. If you drop your hand, it might not get there, so we got to find you. Keep those hands up. Keep them up. There you go. So glad you're here today, all of you. Our annual parish meeting is approaching on February the 8th. Once a year, the whole church comes together for lunch after this service. We elect our leadership, our board, which is called our vestry. We look at our budget. We talk about how things are going, and things are going well. We ended the year in the black. Thanks be to God. So I hope you all will come. Our new class schedule on Wednesday nights has begun, and there's information about that in your bulletin. Some of the classes were so big we've had to move rooms, which is awesome. So check your bulletin for details. Remember that there's dinner and a lot of wonderful classes on Wednesday nights. We do need volunteers for coffee hour to bring in stuff. And you know, healthy food would be great too, because the kids eat all that sugar and then they go bonkers. So anything is good, though, and there's a sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall in our fellowship hall, and we'd love to have you volunteer. A couple times a year, one of the great gifts of this church is that we actually host homeless families. They live here with us. And the next week that we're hosting three families will be February the 8th through the 15th. This is a great way, if you have kids, for them to meet and get to know people who are struggling. And we need volunteers to cook dinner, spend the night at the cathedral with the families, and just play games with the kids. So if you're up for that, check your bulletin. We have a couple of wonderful ladies that are heading this up, Gloria Miller and Carl's wife, Laura, so they can answer any of your questions. But the more helpers we have, the easier it is on everybody. If you have filled out a pledge card and you would like little envelopes, some people really like those envelopes. There are envelopes that should have your name on them in the narthex there, and you can pick those up. A lot of you also are now giving online, which is great. It's awesome. So keep doing it that way if that's what you prefer. We do have a little card that says, I give online, if you want to put something in the plate. Some people miss doing that. And last but not least, we have a wonderful visitor, Ashley Petty, our intern, who is going to seminary, has flown back just to say hello. Ashley, where are you? There she is, and she just got engaged. And she is my goddaughter. See, godparents, it can keep on going. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home.
By your
From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, you reconcile us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope. To proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. So, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread. Said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remember that you are the baptized ones, married to the Spirit of God, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.